Welcome to another episode of the Electric Speed Shop Podcast. It's been a few weeks since I've done one of these. I haven't really had much to talk about from a topic perspective. Just been busy with things outside of my Electric Speed Shop life. So if it's the first time you're listening, be sure to check out our blog, electricss.com, and follow us on all the social media platforms that we're on, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our handles on the blog. Most of the time it's Electric SS or The Electric SS. Today's podcast, I'm going to talk about something that's rather impulsive and probably a terrible idea, and actually talk myself either into this or out of this or still be right where I'm at, which is highly undecided. And that is, I saw on Facebook Marketplace today a 2006 Dodge Daytona Charger. So if you are unfamiliar with what the Daytona variant is, it's basically a little bit of a different body, special colors, interior, things like that. From a performance perspective, it's not that different. Actually, I don't know if it's different at all from just your regular V8 Hemi Charger of the day. So this one in particular had 180,000 miles on it and a blown motor. So as you can imagine, the price was pretty on point. Downside, it's a Dodge Charger. It's a huge car. At least that's what I thought initially. And then as I sat there and did a little Google, you know, research, 5 minutes before I got in the car to record this, I think I might just be discriminating against it because it has four doors. In the first swap C that we did, and something that I harp on fairly regularly, is I would love to do a Dodge Challenger conversion. Well, the Charger and the Challenger are built on the same platform, meaning they're very similar, if not identical, you know, chassis and frames. So it's really not that much different size-wise from a Dodge Challenger, which I already did the workup on from a kind of space, weight, and power perspective, which is on the blog if you want to read it. So right there I'm kind of thinking maybe it's not that crazy. From a weight perspective, it's in the same range as the Challenger. It's a couple hundred pounds here and there. Certainly has enough room, more than enough room, to put all the components needed for a conversion, specifically batteries, a lot of them, a lot of room for batteries. So when I looked at the Challenger, I was a little bit less concerned about range, because my thought process was I could always take out the back seat, and you know, it's kind of a two-seater coupe, you know, a little, basically a street-legal race car. But if I were to do the Charger, I wouldn't want to take out the back seat. It's got four doors, so I would have to leave the back seat, which means it'd be probably more suitable for someone to use as a daily driver if you could, you know, if you do the conversion right. So I normally like to use the Tesla motor with LG Chem batteries, but I would think in this case I might want to try to get Tesla batteries as well as the motor and get as close to a full pack as possible. That's what I'm thinking. So then I thought, okay, who else has done something similar? You have to be crazy, right? Like, this is a terrible idea. So then I thought, okay, what did Polycup do? Sam from Polycup. And I quickly pulled up the blog interview that I did with them. I'm going to reference the blog a lot here because it's where the blog is basically a good way, if you haven't been following us, the blog I use to talk to people who've done conversions. People are in the space and basically get a background and a feel for how conversions should be done and the business perspective of it. So anyway, Sam from Polycup, if you're unfamiliar, that is the company that did the Tesla Audi. The way he did it was he separated the Tesla motor the motor from the inverter and mounted it to the existing quattro transmission in the Audi S5. And then he put a full pack, full battery pack, in the back seat. And that's how he did it. So, from a weight perspective, he has to be pretty close to what a Dodge Challenger, or excuse me, a Dodge Charger would come out at after conversion. You know, you're somewhere in that 38 to 4, maybe a little over 4,000 pounds range. So then my comparison is always, okay, well, you're using a Model S motor. The Model S is 5,000 pounds, roughly. So you're using a motor that's definitely got the ability to move that size vehicle. So is it really crazy? Talk me off the ledge here. I keep thinking it's crazy, but is it? So then I look at, okay, as a speed shop, I say the goal is, most of the time, depending on what the customer's always right, but if it's things I'm looking at, I want to improve the performance. Could you really improve the performance of a 06 Charger by making it electric? So I looked at the raw performance of the Hemi V8 engine. You're at like 350 horsepower and 400-ish foot-pounds of torque, which is well and good. So then you look at the Tesla motor, and that's rated about 400 horsepower, I think. So you're already over the horsepower, and I forget what the torque number is, but it's over that. It's way over the almost 400. That's the beauty of electric motors, is the high and instant torque. So putting that right to the rear wheels, are you going to get better performance as long as you can keep the weight reasonable? I'm trying to think, reasonable has got to be 4,500 pounds or less, right? I mean, from a performance perspective, could it be done perspective, I can't seem to talk myself off of that ledge. So let me keep thinking about this out loud here. Sacrilegious is a word that comes to mind. I am a fan of Dodge and Mopars. That's why I really want to do a Challenger. I love this body styling of them. Before I got into electric cars, you know, that's, I just love really anything with a Hemi engine. Be honest. So is it sacrilegious to take something and, like a Charger, you know, a muscle car, and one that's, you know, by the way, if you're a little fun fact about the Daytona Chargers in 2006, there were only 2,000 of them made, and they are numbered. So it is a numbered car, and I would be completely getting rid of that. You know, but with a blown motor and 180,000 miles on it, is it worth anything anyway? Even if it's got, you know, even if it's only one of 2,000, you know? It wasn't number one, it was number 14-something. So, is it sacrilegious? And I'm trying to get myself past that no, it's not. If you want to, you know, do conversions and be in that space, nothing is sacrilegious. If you're improving the performance, it's definitely going to be more efficient, you know, from a green perspective. I think I'm past sacrilegious. I think I'm past it. Again, guys, if you're listening to this, all 20 of you, best way to hit me up is either if you found this through a Twitter link or a Facebook link, comment on that link, tell me what you think. I hate when I rhyme. It's really a personal pet peeve of mine. Sounds stupid. Anyway, after listening to this, let me know what you think. Another thing that I'm toying around with the idea in my head is, the idea was to always just buy a car. If it's one I would like to do as a bonus, if it's one that makes sense, that's all that really matters. For the first one, the idea is to buy the car, convert it to electric, document the whole process, continue to grow the brand, and then either keep that car, take it to car shows, kind of use it as a prototype, I'll call it, even though it's not a prototype because people have done this. It's more of a proof of capability that the electric speed shop can convert cars and then feel comfortable taking some of the money to do it, knowing that I can. Or take the first one, do some of that for a little while, sell it, use that money to rent a space, buy more tools, and be able to do another conversion faster, again, ideally with a customer. So from our business perspective, documenting this, no matter what car I do, I'm going to document it. So documenting a charger, people are going to have a problem with it because conversions are normally lightweight, practical cars to convert to electric. So would the conversion community have something to say about it? And I don't know. I saw, what's his name? Damon McGuire, EVBMW. He was doing a Range Rover the other day. I think he's starting to explore outside of the, it has to be small, practical range, so maybe not. Another thing people are hounding on lately is the cost. A Dodge Charger, from a conversion perspective, would cost a lot of money, and that has me a little nervous. The first car I would buy, and it wouldn't matter if it took 6 months or a year, because I'm going to go slow on purpose. I'm going to be documenting, I'm going to be recording, I'm going to be showing the whole process in as much detail as possible. More than I think most people are showing on YouTube. That's my plan. So the money part, I wouldn't have to have all of it up front. Ideally, you know, as I gain more followers, I could get some sponsored posts, maybe get some people to sponsor the car, people would buy, you know, electric speed shop gear, whatever it is. Maybe I could start to get a little trickle in. If I have to, go out and get an investor or GoFundMe, and I would have some content to put behind that. That was always the goal. While I could still do that, I would feel a lot more comfortable, and I think this is where I'm backing down off of the charger. I would feel a lot more comfortable knowing that I had a majority of the money up front. And again, because I think I would really want to go with the Tesla motor and try to get it as close to a full Model S pack as possible, just to have the range, right? If it's a four-door car, I don't want to tell somebody, hey, you can't drive more than, you know, whatever, even if I keep it, or the first customer, yeah, you can't go more than 80 miles in it, unless you're doing, you know, 40 the whole time, right? I want it to be fun to drive and have that little bit of performance perspective, but I can add it some range, which is what using Tesla batteries over the LG Chem does, is it generally gives you more range. They're more focused on your amp hours, whereas the LG Chem are great for getting to a high voltage pack with less batteries. Just a different way the nominal voltage and amps work out between the two. You can go, again, there, I talk about a little bit in some of the blog articles, but generally if you're using the Tesla motors, you see them widely popular because you can get more range. And I think I'd want to do that, right? Because if it's a four-door car, I'm probably going to want to put in some type of air conditioning. I'm probably going to want to put in some type of heater. It's going to be a little bit more creature comfort focused than some of the other cars I've considered, which would just be, like I said, they're more for, you know, you're out there on a nice day, driving around, having nothing but pure enjoyment, whereas a car that size, you got to be able to, I mean, I'm sitting in my car right now in Northeast section of the United States, Pennsylvania, we get days that are 100 degrees, we get days that are 12 degrees. Having a heater and an air conditioner in something that theoretically somebody could put a family in, or take your buddies to the golf course, or, you know, whatever, I think you gotta have some of those creature comforts in a car like that, and having a battery pack with more kilowatt hours, more amp hours, giving you more range and, you know, more... words escaping me, but you'd be able to have some of those creature comforts in that drain, have less drain, you know, not worry as much about the drain on your battery pack. Whereas if you don't have those amp hours, as soon as you turn on some type of fan or a heating element, you're just draining, your range is going down. So that talks me down a little bit, is would that plan, with that model of not having a lot of the money up front, you know, talk me out of doing this. I don't know. So again, I go back to, should I be concerned about that? And I'm going to use Polycup as an example. That company was very, very under the radar until Rich Rebuilds found them at a Supercharged Sunday and was like, oh my God, it's an S5. Look at it, with a Tesla motor and Tesla batteries. And they just, you know, popped. They went viral. The car wasn't even done. If you go watch that video, the car was not complete. He even said it. They thought they had more work to do, and they've done more work since. So they had the advantage of flying under the radar, and I would not have that. I actually don't want that. So should I be nervous of that, of documenting what could be a possible failure and a possible terrible idea? I don't know if I would care. Right? Trying to do something that no one has done before shouldn't mean you should be afraid of it or afraid to show someone that you tried to do it and you failed. It would also mean I'd have all the components to do another car. Or a smaller car, it would just be the waste of the money of purchasing the car itself. And at the point where I realized they couldn't do it, I probably would have cut up enough of that car and sold enough of the parts that I didn't need for it to be worthless. So I'm going back to that sacrilegious term. Is it, as a car guy, is it wrong to do that? I'm going to hack it up, you know, cut it, weld brackets on it, make battery boxes, sell the transmission, sell the exhaust, sell, you know, all the combustion engine drivetrain components and have a shell, essentially, by the time I realize I can't do it, of a numbered car. I don't know. It would certainly be meet that kind of viral aspect by the time you were done. It would certainly catch people's attention at car shows. It would certainly be a feat and a worthy proof of capability. I really can't get past the fact that it's a four-door sedan sports car. I always struggle with that. It's a Charger sports car. Just because it has the motor and sports car styling. Sports cars can be four doors, right? Right? This is a bad idea, right? I'm struggling here. So if you listen to this, if you made it this far, please comment on whatever link you followed to get to this. If you randomly found it, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. Twitter's at The Electric SS. Facebook's The Electric Speed Shop. Find this link. Find this post. Comment on it. Say, you are ridiculous. You're out of your mind. Stop considering this. Or, you're ridiculous. You're out of your mind. But I really want to see somebody try to do this and fail. Or, no, you're not out of your mind. It's something that's never been done before. You shouldn't be afraid of it. Go do it. We're tired of listening to you talk about wanting to convert a car, and we all want to see you finally freaking try. So it's, a 2006 Dodge Charger Daytona. It's red. I forget what the red color was called. They all had unique names, but it's a nice color red. It's got a number matching, or a color matching interior. I would definitely, definitely, definitely be using the Tesla Model S rear drive unit. Straight to the rear wheels. It just comes down to the question of what battery pack, Tesla batteries, LG Chem batteries, and is it a good idea? I have to be crazy here, right? Why is this idea stuck in my head? Again, the numbers are not all that different. You're talking about 100 pounds here and there, which in a conversion makes a big difference, I know. But it's not all that different from the Challenger. It's not all that different, surprisingly, from the S5 that Polycup did, especially since they left in the transmission and all, you know, there's a is a couple hundred pounds difference. I would be taking all that out. Anyway, thanks for listening. Please, please comment on this, you know, wherever you found this link from. Let me know if I'm crazy. Let me know if you'd love to see somebody try this, regardless of whether they succeed or not. What do you think I should do? Should I go look at it? Should we try it? The Electric SS on Twitter, the Electric Speed Shop on Facebook, or check out the blog, electricss.com. Thanks for listening, and don't forget the Teespring store. We have free shipping for the whole month of July. You use the code JULY4. It's on all products that apply. Not all of them qualify for free shipping. The newer ones definitely do, so that's the American Electric shirt, the hats. If that doesn't work, you can try the code FIVER, F-I-V-E-R. That'll get you 5% off. That should work on almost everything. Thanks for listening. Until next time.